Did not cry. For the Lord shall step out and call his
children.
And the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which remain shall be quickly changed. The twinkling of an eye. What a day. That's what the everlasting gospel is all about. It's not about church office. It's not about looking good. It's not even about houses and lands and cars and your education. It's about that day when we shall be changed. And the change must take place now. You must see the change in your hearts, in your thinking, in your behavior, in your character, in our character. We must see that change. And that's what the everlasting gospel is about. Changing us from that person who is ready to kill, from that person who is dishonest, from that person who is disobedient, from that person who, having their own ways and think their own thing and want to do their own thing. That's what the gospel is about, changing our lives. If it weren't for the gospel, we would not be here today. If it weren't for the hope of Jesus Christ, the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts today, we would not be here today worshiping. We would be on the street using some expressions, true or false. You would be on the road hustling somebody's pocket. Or in some office trying to get more than what you are ought to get. If it weren't for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the everlasting gospel, some of us would have been in our grave already. But the love of God that should have brought in our hearts, asking us to deny all lusts, worldly lusts. Same love of God. And so that brings me to the point, preach the everlasting message / everlasting gospel. Preach the everlasting gospel. Let us pray. Father God, as your words are about to be spoken, please speak to our hearts. Give us that attitude that our hearts will receive just the word that we need to bring us across the finish line. Give us the words that encourage us, that change our direction. Give us the words, Lord, that will change our thinking. Give us the words, oh Lord, that will hasten us on to see the necessity and importance to focus on spreading the good news of salvation in every corner, in every crevice, at the workplace, on the street, when we get up, when we're going out, when we're coming in, when it's on our doorposts, it's in our hearts, telling far and wide, men and women in every language, tongue, and people, the good news of salvation. Touch us, Lord, today. And as you speak to us, Father God, please hide me behind the shadow of the cross and give me the right phrase, the right expressions, the right words, the right ideas that matches every soul that hears my voice, that will bring about a newness, a new urgency for the preaching of the gospel today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Just want to welcome all those on Zoom. If you are on Zoom and you're able to be with us, I want to appeal to you, just jump in your car and come. Or call an Uber and come. Come, let us fellowship one with the other. When Jesus was leaving his disciples, they looked at the despair that radiates through their faces. And when he looked at the extents to which the gospel need to go, he looked at them and said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, 18 through 20. God commissioned his disciples, go and preach, teach, and reach all nations. I want to say today, brethren, if we are to use the word puzzle, we'd like to use the T, take the T off, teach, and put it and add a P, we get preach. If we were to add R and minus T, or we would say, would get reach. So the words teach, reach, and preach have the same effect on human psyche. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those who teach, you've changed somebody's psyche. You've changed somebody psychologically. You have repositioning their mind to something else. Those who call out somebody and reach out to somebody and speak to them, you are also touching somebody in a psychological sense, because you are repositioning, you are changing their thinking. Preach, they all have the same effect. The effect change through education, information, and inspiration. Teaching informs. Reaching provides contacts. Preaching provides divine inspiration. Under such influence, people have become changed. That's what the gospel is all about. Change. It is against this background. We at the Brooklawn Seventh-day Adventist Church and the Worldwide Adventist Church have been given this commission to preach the everlasting gospel. Amen. Your amen is on the downside. We want to have some more resonant and so it can be on the upside. So, amen. Beautiful. That's what we're about. Change. We then will examine the following. One, what is the everlasting gospel? We're going to look at that. What is the everlasting gospel? Two, we will identify the everlasting gospel throughout history and its effect on people's life. Three, who and why should we preach in these last days? Who should preach and why should we preach in these last days? To answer this question that come up in our minds, we must use a principle that we established some weeks ago, that precepts upon precepts, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So we're going to identify some of these things throughout the Bible. So let's start. Number one, what is the everlasting gospel? And your quarterly should identify that for you. So you should know that. Am I right or am I right? So what is the everlasting gospel? The everlasting gospel, it is God's plan to save all repented people from their sins. God has put in a place, a plan of salvation. God has put in place a plan of salvation to save the entire world from their sins. That is the everlasting gospel. But there is something we need to focus on, and the word S-I-N. To save the world from their sins. S-I-N. What is sin? Are you ready for it, brethren? Are you ready for it? What is sin? Hear what John says. First John chapter 3 and verses 3 through 7. Hear what John says. To every man that hath his hope in him purifies himself, even as he is what? You're not there with me. Follow me now. Follow me in your Bibles. First John, I'll wait on you. Go with me. The First John chapter. Remember, we're talking together. We're going to preach this thing together because we want you to be a part of this. First John chapter 3. Follow me in your Bibles. First, there are Bibles in front of you if you don't have one. 1 John chapter 3 and verses 3 to 4. Because when I have finished preaching this today, you should be continuing preaching it in your homes, on the street, at your workplace, because you have something to preach now. And you have somebody to reach. And you have somebody to teach. So let's go. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is what? Pure. Whosoever cometh what? Sin does what? Transgresseth also the law. For what is sin? What is sin, church? Sin is breaking God's law. Sin is lying, stealing, disobedient. Disobedient to parents, killing, breaking God's Sabbath. This is all of sin, let me tell you, if you don't know. So why you're here today is because God would have begun the work in us. Amen. The things that you used to do, you do them no more, because the love of God has shed abroad in you, in us, His grace. The grace that shed some light in us, that we should renounce sin and its sinfulness and turn to Jesus Christ. So sin is the transgression of God's law. I'm saying to you, my friends, if you have not yet given your heart to Jesus Christ, if you have not yet been baptized, and you are still living in sin, this is a time that the everlasting gospel is reaching down in your inner ears, in your outer ears, in your inner ears, in the recesses of your heart, getting down in your soul and keeping you uncomfortable, because God wants a savior. If you're uncomfortable, it's because God wants to save you. Now, if you see an insect kind of hibernating, sitting still, hibernating, and you go and poke it because you want to get out of your house, let's say a frog. Oh, right now. You get up and you're cleaning your house and you see a frog lurking at your under your bed. Yes, let that take residence in your heart. A frog lurking, and he's there, his eyes are closed, and he's so comfortable. You go with your broomstick, or you call your husband, he's a wife, or if your husband, you go get your broomstick and you stick it, open its eyes. And guess what? You're still going to stick there unless it's dead. Once it's alive, it's going to move. It's going to move. When God wants to move us, he sticks us with the gospel. And when God is ready, my friend, you got to move. You got to move. When you move, he changes you inward and outwardly. So sin is the transgression of God's law when you break God's law. And what is God's law? The Ten Commandments. So hear what sin is. Sin is destructive. It will destroy you. If you're still hugging it up and nicing it up and polishing it down and soothing it down, it will kill you. Sin is debilitating. It will disfigure and paralyze you. If you go to some nursing homes and some places of disability, homes of disability, you see what sin does to those poor children and adults because they are disfigured. Some born disfigured because of sin. Whoever commits sin, I do not know, but sin is telling on them. Disfigured, debilitating. Sin is deceptive. It will lead you astray and make you feel hopeless. Hear this one. Listen to this one. Sin will destroy you first and then inform you after. Sin will destroy you first. Bring you to nothing, bring you on your face, bring you to rags. And then it informs you that you're walking in my street and I did this to you. Sin will cause you to tell lie, and you tell one lie, you have to use another lie to cover up that lie, so you become a chronic liar. Look in somebody's eyes and say, I didn't do it. That's lying. That's sin. That's what God wants to save us from. The destructive nature of sin, the deceptive nature of sin, the sins that will cause us to look foolish in other people's eyes and look foolish to ourselves. That's the sin that God wants to save us from. That's what the gospel is all about. The gospel is about telling us that we are in sin. And here is light. Come out of darkness into light. That is why we have the everlasting gospel in the last days to tell to every kindred, tongue, and people, come out of darkness into this marvelous light. Come out of her, my people. Where did you hear this first announcement of the everlasting gospel? The everlasting gospel is not just yesterday. It's not just since this Adventist church came into being. The everlasting gospel has been around ever since man fell. And if I trace it back, it was ever since God decided that he has made man. The everlasting gospel was always there. It's called grace, in other words. So how do we know about this everlasting gospel? Let's go to Genesis 3:15. It says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." God was speaking to the serpent. And he said, "And I will put enmity between you, Mr. Serpent, and between the woman, and between your seed, Mr. Serpent, and her seed. And it shall bruise, her seed will bruise your head, and your seed will shall bruise his heel." So the woman's seed will destroy the devil's seed. And the seed of the serpent will only bruise his heel. Jesus came and a wicked man placed him on the cross. That's bruising of his heel. But he has won the victory. And he's coming a second time. And that is why this song, that Sister Stephanie's song, should bring hope to us. Because when Jesus stepped out to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise. Those who did not die in him and those wicked ones will be destroyed by his glory, and Satan will be set aside for 1,000 years. He will not have anybody to deal with for 1,000 years. And after the 1,000 years expired, he'll be thrown in his fire, which was made for him. But if there are people who followed him, they will also be with him in that lake of fire. And they will be there and burn. And there will be no more sin nor Satan. That's the gospel. Let's look at the second point. Identify the everlasting gospel throughout history and its effects on people's life. God made the plan of salvation and it down through the ages from Adam and Eve down through the last generation who will exist on this earth. When sin was terrible in the antediluvian age, it grieved God. And God said, God wanted to destroy sin and save man. God wanted to destroy sin and save man. That's grace. But Noah found, and his family found grace, the saving grace in the eyes of God. So Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, follow me now in your Bibles. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 through 9. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The imagination of the thoughts of his heart, that's man, was evil. If you take the word, if you take the letter E of evil, you get what? Sorry. Add, how do you spell devil? Yes. I want you to help me, man. Add the D. And you get devil. So the thoughts of his heart were like the devil himself continually. And it repented of the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. You've experienced grief yet? Have you seen, you've taught your children, you have taught, and you have seen them this very same thing that you tell them to do is the same thing that they end up doing. You know that grievous? The same, you said, don't touch the stove, it's hot, don't touch it. And then look at you. They touch it. And there's a big blob in their hand. You have to now take it to the hospital and dress it and waste your time because they didn't hear. It's tough. That's the devil. The Lord was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah, praise God, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is where the gospel comes in. Noah heard, Noah knew God, and he decided to stand up for God, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, in spite of the continual evil in his neighbors and the people around him. He found grace. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Amen. That's how the gospel changed Noah. God called Abraham away from his comfort zone, invested in him the promise of what is called eternal life, and the channel through whom everlasting gospel would be conveyed to a sinful world. God called Abraham. So when the antediluvian world was destroyed through the lineage of Noah, then come Abraham. His father was Terah. So get thee out of thy father's kingdom. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kingdom, and from thy father's house, and to a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee that and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So what God was actually saying to Noah, he said to Noah, preach to these people. And they didn't respond. Only he and his family respond. Now he said to Abraham, leave your family house and go and spread the gospel, because through you, Abraham, shall all the earth be blessed. Thank God I'm a part of that blessing. You too. That's why you're here. Abraham's children and grandchildren were suffering in Egypt. And God remembered his saving covenant with this forefather and sent rescue for them. And he sent Moses to rescue them. There goes the children of Israel out of Egypt. They came through. The Bible says God heard Genesis 2 and verse 23, 24, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked down. God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respected them. And God sent Moses to take them out. Through the tribe of Judah came the messianic hope and deliver from sin. Amen. God is still on the saving business. He started with Adam and Eve. He sent it through to Noah. Noah preached for 120 years. Abraham got the message through the lineage of Abraham. Then come the children of Israel. And through the lineage of Judah, a tribe of the children of Israel, and Matthew 1 and verse 21 said, and he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So sin is a problem, brethren. Sin is a problem. And anyhow you find yourself acting contrary to the word of God, it is sin. And you now talk. Having that desire to want to be saving God's kingdom, you're going to step away from sin and move to righteousness. That's what the gospel is all about. Jesus came and lived, taught and preached the everlasting gospel. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He continued the promise of Abraham. Healing the sick and raising the dead was just to demonstrate that there's a better way. There's a better way than being sick. There's a better way than just being walking around. There's a better way. There's a better way to come. Jesus, when he was leaving, he saw the bewilderment in his disciples' eye. Oh, our Savior come, and he's leaving. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The message from Adam to Adam and Eve to Noah down through the ages, God wants to save mankind from their sins. From our sins, Jesus said, this is the gospel, and this gospel of the kingdom must be preached into all the world for a witness. Every nation, all nation, then shall the end come. Everybody must know that there is some light somewhere and for them to make a choice. If they don't make the choice, it's on them. But God sent his son to save the world. That's the everlasting gospel. And that's what we need to preach. And I'm saying, brethren, if you find yourself overcoming some weaknesses, you need to preach the gospel. If you find yourself at church every Sabbath, enjoying the bliss of this beautiful life and the hope of eternal life, you need to preach the gospel. If you find yourself overcoming certain character faults, you need to preach the gospel, because you did not do it of yourself. It is the love of God that shed abroad in your heart through his grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit that gives you that desire. Preach it. Last point, third point and last. And why should, who will preach the gospel, and why should we preach the gospel in the last days? Why? Who should preach the everlasting gospel? Is it the pastor? Is it the elders? Is it board members? No. If you feel the love of God, if you gave your life to Jesus, if you confess your sins and renounce them, if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you are born again, if you have tasted of the goodness of God, you are called to share the saving faith of the gospel, the everlasting gospel. What do you say? Yes. Once you see light, you're going to say, come to the light. Come out of darkness. Come to the light. This is the everlasting gospel for our days and beyond. This is it. Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And look at the verb tense. Look at the verb tense. It is not had come or shall come, but is come. And when we express that in the Greek language, it is called the present perfect tense. It has come. The effect of its coming is continual. So the judgment hour came 1844, and we are now living what is called the pre-advent judgment hour. This is referred also to the Day of Atonement, the period of the Day of Atonement, when the priest is now interceding on behalf of man's sin. Jesus is now, as our high priest, is before the presence of God, is interceding on our behalf right now in the pre-advent hour. This is the time we should be praying and fasting and giving ourselves over to the Lord, because that period is going to be stopping soon, and that will be the period called a probational period for those who would have accepted Jesus Christ and those who would not have accepted Jesus Christ. The pre-advent judgment. Fear God. Give glory to him. No other God. For the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the seas and the fountains of water. That is to say, you ought not to worship a computer, nor a robot, nor a tree, nor a man, nor a religion, nor your phone, nor anything of such kind that take away your time with your Lord. Just a little time with you. Nothing should come between you and the Savior at this moment, because we are in the judgment hour. There followed another angel, and that's the everlasting gospel. the judgment hour. And there followed another angel flying in the midst saying, Babylon is falling, Babylon is falling, darkness is falling, false worshiping is falling, false religion is falling, this world is falling. That great city, because she has made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This Babylon false worship is falling. And the third angel flying followed them, saying with the Lord's voice, if any man, this is it now, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascend up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark in and his name. That segregate us. You know what happened? God's people would have the seal of God in their forehead. Those who have not followed God's commandments will have the mark of the beast. You know what the seal is? We're going to take up that, but another time. You know what the seal is? The seal is a Sabbath. The seal is the Sabbath. Just a quick demonstration. When you have a seal, on the seal it has three characteristics. One, the person who issues the seal. Two, the place over the authority of which he has. And the what? The title of. So when you read through the fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment, you should find those things in it. One, the God who made heaven and earth, the Lord, and also what? His authority. Stamp of approval. So if you don't have the seal of God in your forehead, that when you are asked to do things that are not comparable to the Sabbath day, and you are walking contrary to that which is called to, brethren and friends, I'm telling you that you are now putting a seal or a mark somewhere. But I want to tell you this, brethren, that God loves you and he cares so much for us. He is such a great, just God. God is not like us. God works with us. Amen? He works with us. He works with us. So, here is it now. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep his commandments. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The body of people who are commissioned to carry this everlasting message are the people who are keeping God's commandments. According to Ecclesiastes covers it by saying, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 through 14. We are told the judgment has begun, according to prophecy, in 1844. Why should the everlasting gospel to be preached to every kindred, tongue, and people? Why? Let's go to that. Follow me carefully now to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1 through 5. I'm going to let you out now. I charge thee, therefore, before God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Do what, church? Do what, church? Preach the word. How? All right, let's put time to it. When? preach the word in instant, now, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort all with all long suffering and doctrine. Brethren, it is the time to preach. If we have never preached before, if we have sat here all these years at Brooklawn Church, it's time to preach. It's time to share the everlasting gospel. It's time to go in instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, even if you are spat upon. Do a slam in your face. Being insulted, preach it just the same. Why? For the time will come and is now. The time will come and it is now when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own loss, does it sound like we're speaking about the last days? Does it sound like we're talking about 2023? I wonder if you're living in a world that you're not seeing anything happening. It's only I am alone seeing it. Endure, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall return away from their heirs, from the truth. And they shall turn away their heirs from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Is it happening, brethren? Watch. Thou in all things endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, and make fuller proof of thy ministry. And I'm done. Brethren at Brooklawn, preach the everlasting gospel. Parents, if you have children in your home, be not afraid. Be not afraid to teach them, to scold them, to reprove them, to bring them back into the lightness of the gospel. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Don't be their friends. If you want to be their friends, they're going to take you as their friends, and they are going to be friendly with you when serious time comes around. But I'm saying to you, brethren, don't be afraid to preach the gospel. Teach them when they get up. Teach them when they're going through the door. Teach them when they come back in. Teach them, preach it, so that, because they are the ones who want to take the baton to take it down the line the next 2 years, the next 20 years, so that the gospel can be preached. The everlasting gospel. If they don't have it, they're going to have nothing to preach. In closing, I learned that the everlasting gospel is God's plan to save man from the destruction of sin. 2, we have seen how God sent and demonstrated his saving grace to Noah, Abraham, the children of Israel, Judah, Jesus and the disciples, down through us and beyond. We who are tasted of the goodness of God and have felt the recreated work of the Holy Spirit in our lives are to preach the everlasting gospel. For the evil days are upon us, and people will want to do their own thing and depart from the truth. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached into all the world for a witness. Then the end shall come. God wants to save all of us in this church. Did you know that? Satan wants to deceive all of us in this church. Sin wants to destroy all of us in this church. But the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has come to us today. What will be your response? Bow your heads with me, everybody, everywhere. You're here today. You have not yet made that commitment to the Lord. You have not yet consecrated your life to the Lord because God wants your life. And he wants the everlasting gospel to be beamed out of you. He doesn't want lying and stealing and deception and smartness to come out of you. He wants the gospel to come out of you. And you're here saying, Pastor, I want to be saving God's kingdom, comes what may. I want to be in God's kingdom, but I have not yet been baptized. I have not yet been baptized. Bow your heads, everybody, weird. You have not yet been baptized. And you're saying, I want to be saved so badly. I want God in my life. Just bow your heads. Keep your heads down. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. You have not yet surrendered your life. You have not yet been baptized. You have not yet made that commitment to Jesus Christ. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. You're down there. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the only day you know. You don't know about tomorrow. You only know about today. You want to change your life. You're tired of doing all kind of bad things, all kind of things that deem me not good. You want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ today. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Do we have a brave person? I want to pray for somebody right here. Do we have a brave person who have raised their hand and said, Pastor, I really want you to pray for me, and I'm coming up to the altar. You want to come? You raise your hand? Come. Leave your seats and come. Let us pray. You have raised your hand. You want me to be saving God's kingdom? Just raise your hand. Leave your seats and come. Come. Come right here. Come. Don't be afraid. There's one brave man. Do you want another one to join him? Another brave one? To be saving God's kingdom, take brave. Come. 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 You've raised your hand. Come. I want to pray a special prayer for you. Come, my friends. Come. Come. You have not yet given your heart to Jesus Christ. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, come. This is a day. These are serious times, brethren. Serious times. Come. Serious times. Serious times. That is why the gospel is to be preached to every kindred, tongue, and people, to every age. Come, my friends. You have not yet given your heart to Jesus Christ. Come. Let us pray. But I want, do we have one more person joining us here? You have not yet baptized? One more? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have heard thy call, Lord Jesus, and we have responded with joy. Lord, here are some youth up front here. I want you, God, to get into the recesses of their heart and give them new imaginations. Lord, give them new aspirations. Give them new direction that they have this great desire to be saved in your kingdom and to eradicate sin out of their lives. Oh God, please be with their parents, their families, and their loved ones. There are others, Lord, who might be down there who are perhaps not as brave, but they too want to be saved in God's kingdom, but they have not yet been baptized. Lord, I pray, God, that you will get into their hearts as well and trouble their hearts, Lord. Say, get into their Holy Spirit, get in their hearts, and give them that uneasy feeling because we are living in the last days. Christ, your grace in their heart. Touch them and consecrate them, I pray. Then, Lord, these young, brave ones who have come, provide all the necessities to make the stand for you, we pray. In Jesus' name, bless them in all areas of their lives. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, young men and ladies. My last call is to all of us. Is it your desire, church, to preach everlasting gospel to every kindred, tongue, and people at your workplace, on the streets? In a few weeks, we'll be going over to South Stratford to launch a presence there. And this is a church with all of us who have been born again, have the sense of the love of God in us. We want the whole church to rally behind all of us to do that mission work over there. Is it your desire, church, to continue to preach everlasting gospel? Stand with me. 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 God, we are standing because we want to let the devil look foolish. We want Jesus Christ to look good because we want to preach about him. We are standing, Lord, with another commitment, another covenant relationship with you, that we want to be saved people and ourselves and our families into the everlasting kingdom. Bless this church, oh God. Bless the administration. Bless the leaders, the elders, the head of departments, every member, every family member that is related here, every person on Zoom, every community member here. Bless this community, Lord, and a siding community so that the gospel can be reached to them. Hear us, O Lord, and push us on. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please remain standing for the closing exercise.
Our closing hymn is 373, Seeking the Lost.
Seeking the lost, kindly entreated, wanders on the mountain stream.